cuánto tiempo va a pasar para que pueda mejorar. Todos somos víctimas de un estado confiscado, con un gobierno involucrado en las ganancias del narco. Es una nación podrida con la población herida.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now from Mexico City is Dr. Andre Dorce Ramos, who's a lecturer and researcher at the Communication Sciences Department in Universidad Autónoma Metropolitana in Mexico. He researches the media and political culture, especially in relation to media production and consumption in the emerging digital media landscape. His interests are focused on the role of communications technology on society and politics, and he's a member of the executive board of the Union of Socially Committed Scientists, where he coordinates the Media and Communication Group. He's also the ombudsman for Public Broadcasting Channel 22 and is currently working on a book about critical perspectives on media convergence, collaborating with several local and regional initiatives for progressive change in media legislation in Mexico. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dr. Andre Dorce Ramos.
Hello. Well, thank you very much for having me on your show.
So tell me about today, for example, one of the factors in turnout. There is expected to be not the usual turnout, which has been very high in Mexico, something akin to what we have here in the United States, around between 60 and 70%. Is the weather a factor in turnout, or people are just fed up with politics?
Well, generally, I'd say the second option is the right answer. Most people are actually fed up with the political class in Mexico, so I don't think the weather is going to be quite a factor, a decisive factor today, but we're in a point now in Mexican history where we are not really sure of exactly what's going to happen. I mean, it can go either way. I think I personally think it's going to be a big turnout.
So the turnout, of course, would indicate some enthusiasm for the PRD candidate, López Obrador. He's supposed to be gaining in the polls, but most of the polls indicate that Peña Nieto is fairly well ahead, sometimes by double digits. What's your hunch on this?
Well, you know, it's always difficult with polls and statistics and et cetera, et cetera. And Mexico has had a kind of complicated history with that. Last election, 2006, only one of the main surveys was correct about Presidente Calderón actually getting into the presidency. So there's a lot of skepticism about those numbers, I'd say. And also, it's important to say that the rate of denial, the amount of people that don't want to answer these surveys is huge, actually. Sometimes it goes over 60% or so. So, we are not absolutely sure how accurate are those statistics. Nevertheless, yes, most of them give Enrique Peña Nieto they say Enrique Peña Nieto is well ahead of López Obrador, and there seems to be a general sense that actually the PRI is going to win again. I'm not sure about that. I'd say we've been seeing a lot of things happening lately that show, or at least suggest us to read this conjuncture in a different light, I guess.
Well, in terms of elections being stolen, of course, there's a history of that going back to 1988 when Cárdenas clearly won and Salinas and the PRI stole the election and they cut the power off and stopped the vote count. And before they did that, Cárdenas was ahead, and then after the power was cut off and the vote count stopped, suddenly the PRI were ahead. It's been pretty cynical. The following election after that, where Cárdenas ran again, I think the Zapatistas in many ways sabotaged that with Comandante Marcos basically suggesting that Cárdenas was a weakling, and that wasn't particularly helpful.
Then
we have in the last election, López Obrador really feeling it was stolen and then having a kind of mounting a kind of citizen's sit-in for some time afterwards. I'm not sure that helped his cause. He's now saying that things have changed. In 2006, we lacked organization, but now we're organized. So what about the integrity of the vote? My understanding is that the Mexican voting system is actually infinitely better than the one we have here in the United States.
Well, I'm not sure about that. Well, you know, there seems to be, I mean, one thing that it's certainly, if we compare the current election with the other, with the past ones, is that the level of uncertainty in many ways, at least socially speaking, is higher, definitely. Partly because there's a, you know, huge sectors of the population that actually are not trusting the government office for elections, the Instituto Federal Electoral. There seems to be a lot of, you know, reasonable doubts about the integrity of the whole system. We've been hearing in the past 2 weeks, at least, lots of, you know, irregularities going on around PRI people allegedly trying to buy votes of lots of people in Mexico across the country. It seems to be, you know, kind of contradictory what I'm saying, but what I'm trying to explain here is that on the one hand, in institutional terms, the El Instituto Federal Electoral, the body in charge of, you know, managing the whole elections, is getting, in a way, more effective, more efficient, more transparent, definitely. So in that sense, I'd say we have certainly more, sure, more certainty about this. But at the same time, there seems to be a genuine, you know, doubt, generally speaking, about how the different parties are actually behaving, trying to get the voters to benefit them, sure, to actually give them their vote.
Well, I think what I was saying, Dr. Andre Dorce Ramos, is that in terms of counting the vote, there's more integrity, not in terms of buying the vote. That's a separate
exactly,
issue.
Exactly.
And the PAN have just accused the PRI of candidate Enrique Peña Nieto's campaign of acquiring 9,500 prepaid gift cards worth nearly 5.2 million to give away to get people to vote for them. That's an old PRI trick.
Yes.
Again, I'm speaking with Dr. Andre Dorce Ramos, who's a lecturer of research in the Communication Sciences Department of the Universidad Autónoma Metropolitana in Mexico. He's also the ombudsman with Public Broadcasting Channel 22. Now, tell us about the television side of it, the idea. We have Fox News here, which is essentially the Pravda of the Republican Party. You have Azteca and Televisa, which has about 95% of the media footprint in Mexico, completely in the pocket of the PRI. For an American audience, that would be like, we have nothing but Fox News here, if you're, say, a Democrat, you know?
Yes, yeah, you're absolutely right. I think, in a way, yes, that analogy actually is pretty good. I'd say that there's a slight difference in terms of how Televisa actually got emerged 50 or so years ago in Mexico. It's been historically it's been linked to the Mexican government over the last 70 something years. So first it was a radio broadcaster, and then it became television in the 1950s. So it was always very close. It had always a very kind of a instrumental relationship with the PRI until 2000. And so it's sometimes, at some point, it's very difficult actually to distinguish or try to find what are the difference between some factions of the PRI and Televisa. Of course, it's a private enterprise. Of course, it's not the same, but I'd say they are organically collaborating for a very, very long period of time. So yes, it's like having only Fox News, basically. So yes, we have a huge problem in terms of the way in which democracy is run in Mexico, the role that the television actually is playing. We have this huge, basically, monopoly in television sector and telecommunications as well.
Well, tell us about the Yo Soy 132 movement. We heard from a spokesperson for a young activist with Yo Soy 132. They're trying to level the playing field through social media. We saw that happen in Egypt with the Arab Spring. Give us a sense of how deep the penetration is for the internet, whether the students are talking to a broader swath of people, certainly not on the level that Televisa has in terms of its big microphone.
Yes, of course. You have to take into account that most Mexico, we are like 112 million people, basically. Television has reaches about 99% of the Mexican population. The internet, only 30% of Mexican people have access to the internet. And that's certainly a huge gap in terms of access to information, to access to the news, and many other things, education as well. So you have to take that into account. Now, what's interesting about I am 132, or Yo Soy 132, is that they are not only working in a sort of in the cyberspace. They also working in the streets. They are organizing different types of groups across the country. So they have a very good communication, not only through social media, the social networks, etc., Facebook, Twitter, etc., but they also are, you know, managing to communicate with many other people that don't have access to the internet, and that's absolutely essential in terms of their own objectives. And I'd say they're definitely expressing something new in terms of how younger citizens are relating to the media, and their opposition to Televisa. It's been quite a surprise, actually.
Well, any last thoughts here before we close out? I know that the election, the count won't be in until tomorrow, but just what's your final comment on today's historic elections?
Well, definitely, I think it's historic. There's been a lot of fear about violence coming, you know, expressing itself in some ways. There's been some violence in some parts of the country, but until now, everything seems to be calm and going just fine. I'd say the levels of uncertainty we're having or witnessing now are also, I think, they indicate the complexity of this process. So I think basically what I'm trying to say is that anything can happen. I wouldn't agree to say that the PRI, Enrique Peña Nieto, is going to win like a landslide. I don't think so. I think it's going to be a very tight competition. So we must be ready to face whatever it happens. I think both Andrés Manuel López Obrador and Enrique Peña Nieto have a chance to actually win.
Well, just in closing, Dr. André Dorce Ramos, there's, of course, 79 million voters voting today for the presidency, the six-year term, as well as 500 congressional deputies and 128 senators, and 11 of the 30, there are races in six of Mexico's 31 states for governorships. The PRI haven't really gone away. If they come back in a big way, do you think, the most of the coverage here in the United States is about the war on drugs, which is should be acknowledged by all as a complete failure, and that essentially Mexico is paying the price for the fact that Americans consume drugs.
That's and selling arms as well.
And selling arms. And, of course, they just censured the to hold in contempt of Congress the Attorney General, a vote organized by the NRA, the very people that are responsible for allowing guns to go into Mexico. The whole thing here is an obscene, hypocritical circus. What's your sense of what will happen to the war on drugs if the PRI come back?
Well, there seems to be the common knowledge, almost commonsensical feel that the PRI has historically has negotiated with the drug cartels. So there seems to be like a lot of hope that if the PRI actually wins the presidency, they will definitely mobilize all the political structures that they usually have in the federal government to actually reach some sort of agreement with the most violent cartels. That seems to be the expectation for a lot of people. I don't think that is possible because it seems to me, well, not only to me, for many other analysts as well, that the most of the drug cartels are now very divided in very small groups or cells. So there doesn't seem to be a centralized power. So it's going to be very difficult for whoever wins this election to actually bring up some peace to these social processes. But I do think there's going to be a huge difference in terms of how they approach the problem. López Obrador is trying to focus more on social justice instead of only, preventive or, aggressive kind of stand like the one is favoring Presidente Calderón. What I'm saying is they're trying to, as far as I know, they are proposing a far more holistic or complete kind of measures or policies to try to solve this problem. But it's a huge one. So whoever wins, they have a huge challenge because we definitely are in a you know, political and social crisis, and that has to be taken into account in trying to come up with some sort of solution.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Dr. Andre Dorce Ramos.
Well, yeah, and thank you very much for having me, and wish you the best of luck, and we'll talk to you later.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Andre Dorce Ramos, who's a lecturer of research at the Communication Sciences Department in the Universidad Autónoma Metropolitana in Mexico. He researches the media and political culture, and he's a member of the executive board of the Union of Socially Committed Scientists, where he coordinates the Media and Communication Group. He's also the ombudsman with Public Broadcasting Channel 22. And is currently working on a book about critical perspectives on media convergence, collaborating with several local and regional initiatives for a progressive change in media legislation in Mexico. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back with more from Mexico.
Politic needs votes. Politic needs your mind. Politic needs human beings. Politic needs lives.